Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, a very funny news and a very funny all balls, all sports coming in a second. I promise lots of laughs ahead. First, I'll tell you about Bet Online. The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at the game this year, but you can certainly get in on all the action at Bet Online. Opening night, we got tonight, we got Houston Texans at Kansas City. Should be a good game. Sunday games, I think the Rams and the Cowboys are the late game. We also have Packers, Vikings, Seahawks, Falcons. Bet Online gives you more options to wager and place bets online. From game spreads to totals to prop bets to championship futures and more. Head to BetOnline today. Take advantage of all the great season opening bonuses. Visit BetOnline.ag, our exclusive partner, Podcast One. Don't forget, use the promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Everybody said I was crazy. Everybody said I was being Chicken Little. Everybody said it wasn't going to happen, and I was just being hysterical. But guess what? Trick-or-treating is banned in Los Angeles County this year. Yeah. Door-to-door trick-or-treating not allowed. That's according to the county's health department. And I'll tell you what else isn't allowed, because it's not just trick-or-treating. They said that they want you to celebrate safely. So no trick-or-treating, you know, door-to-door. No. I forgot what they were calling, but like car-to-car trick-or-treating.
Trunk-or-treating.
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 Sounds like the
no
worst
haunted houses.
Gay bar ever.
No parties. And if you're going to have a party, please just have a party with whoever already lives in your house. They also recommend fun things like an online costume party.
By the way, worst people ever to party with, people that already live in your house. They're all at the fucking bottom of my list of people I want to hang with. My whole part of the party. For me, a party's to get away from the fucking people who live in my house. That's why I want to go to a party. You're flying in the face of a party.
That's the point of the party.
The point of the party is to talk to people outside of my house.
That's right.
I was reading the fucking mandate. And the mandate, it's like, it's so insulting when they give you the stuff you can do. Like, leaving the house, no trick-or-treating, no going to no party. And then they're like, but you could stay home and watch a movie. Yeah, no shit, Your Honor. Thank you for granting me the permission to watch Halloween 3 at fucking home. Or you could do an online. But yes, I understood. It's more insulting when you're telling me what I can't. It's a weird thing because I don't know why, but here's what you're not allowed to do is insulting, and it feels like overreach, but it's more insulting and more overreach when they go, but here's what I'm going to let you do.
Yep.
Do you like Jiffy Pop popcorn?
Okay.
Good. We're in business. Yes, I understand. I can stay at home and dress up like the Tin Man. I get
the same thing.
Jesus Christ.
They did the same thing about the beach. You can't stop. You can't sunbathe. You can't cook. You can throw an American football.
Right. Yeah, the American.
Specifically. It's insane. Right. What else you can do is you can have a Halloween-themed meal at your house. Oh. You can go to a Halloween art installation if it's outside, and you can decorate your own backyard.
How about I lay on my back and think about what a dick you are? Could I do that, Garcetti? Also, I tweeted out, but it makes sense. What if we all just dressed as surgeons? Could we then go out with full protection and masks and gear?
Beekeepers.
I'm also sexy OR nurse.
I'm trying to kind of think, like, what is... Well, first off, it'll be October 31st, right? Mm-hmm. But so it'll be a little ways from now. And it seems like when I look at the map on CNN, California is green. It's not red or whatever. It's all green now. So it's in the, like...
Green.
The map
We're not supposed to have green on there. Newsom specifically said no green.
CNN has their like map of the United States, and be like Arizona will be red, but California's green, but Oregon's green. Like it's like green is the good color, I guess, in the CNN map that I look at in the morning. And so I'm like, well, I think we're doing pretty good. Also, as someone who was just in Malibu for 3 days and literally just drove the entire PCH coast, I can tell you that when the temperature cracked 119 in the San Fernando Valley, everybody in that San Fernando Valley just drove right over the canyon, right through Topanga Canyon, and just landed at Will Rogers Beach. I mean, as I drove down PCH, it was throngs of humanity and no social distancing. I didn't see a lot of masks. So we did that. We'll see what comes of that. But the trick-or-treating process is, it's like you and your kids and your wife, the husband, whatever. Like, you already have your group.
Yep.
Then you're out walking around. Now, you are passing other people, but we're doing not more so than in a Trader Joe's, I guess.
Right. And you're not eating the package that the candy comes in.
Right. And then you show up and you knock on the door and somebody wearing a mask, you know, we wear a mask, it's Halloween, but they're wearing a mask and they drop your Reese's pieces in your bucket and you turn around and leave. It just doesn't feels pretty low impact compared to what was going on the beach and the bike path this last weekend.
And you know what? If you think of it in like bizarro land, if say Halloween was something where everybody got together in a big gymnasium for a party, trick or treating would be the alternate. You can't do that, but you can go house to house and they can give you the candy and you can leave.
Yeah, the process feels pretty spread out and pretty outdoors to me.
That's what trick or treating is.
I would.
You remember, when the first people, the beaches first opened and the rule was you can't lay out.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, all right, well, that doesn't make any sense because you're still outdoors and you can still be away from people. Like, all we want is like sensible regulations that add up in everyone's mind. You know what I mean? Like you said, the aforementioned, hey, if your Halloween costume includes a mask, feel free. Someone could just drop that thing in there and you can, you know, be on your way.
Well, I think what Brian's talking about is what we're looking for in life is a sense of, I've given this some consideration and I'm not going to just make a sort of sweeping decree. You know, we all kind of remember being kids and the school teacher would say, you know, they'd have some rule that'd be like, no sitting here or no doing that. And you'd always go, well, no sitting there because it was too crowded during lunch, but during my free period, couldn't I just sit here? Like, no sitting there. Like, they had these dumb rules. And we all, what we want is nuance. So what we want from the people in charge. So we want them to go, well, we don't like the idea of a Halloween party because that means a large group of people gathering in a small area. And I think I do. But we talked about trick-or-treating, and we decided that in groups smaller than eight, you know, spread out over whatever, that seems fine. And that seems nuanced. They're like, we don't like the idea of a big Raging Waters-type pool party for spring break. But if you want to go to the beach, you want to lay your towel out 6 foot away from your neighbor's towel, then we don't see. So that suggests you're thinking about it, right? That's nuance. That's like that's what you're looking for out of life. Like when your kid says, you know, can I have a cupcake at noon? You go, no, it's noon. But if they ask for a cupcake at noon on their birthday, then you go, well, okay, yeah, it seems like your birthday, you could do that. Or you just got back from a long hike, you worked out, I guess you could have a cupcake. Like, just the massage, the nuance, the what makes human beings human beings, and what makes what you're looking for out of a cop, out of a principal, out of a governor. You know what I mean? You can get pulled over for speeding, and you can get pulled over speeding because you're trying to haul ass to get to Vegas before the strip clubs closed. And you can get pulled over for speeding because you got a text from your wife saying your kid's running a temp and needs to go to the emergency room and she's got to stay home with the baby. And you can show the cop that text, and that cop can be a human being. A cop can go, okay, I get this situation.
You're absolutely right. And they can't pretend that they don't care about details because there's so many damn details in this tier system. Professionals can't figure it out. this color coding tier system, it can be 25 to 47% of the maximum, you know, capacity. It's like they're mired in details. They love details, so this shouldn't be too far.
I agree, and I don't. At least according to Dr. Drew, I don't think we're ever going to clear the bar according to the color system for when it's safe to reopen.
Well, that's why when you said green, I was thinking of the LA County, because there is no green.
No.
There's no green.
It's the map they have on CNN every morning, and California seems to be doing pretty well, at least according to the map. I don't know what it... I think green is good. Obviously, red is bad. CNN... map of the United States, COVID map or whatever, Max Brown's probably somewhere. Online,
I'm just saying
somewhere.
In contrast, you know, the nation might see us as okay, but Newsom never will. Mm-hmm. It's not even in the color-tiered system.
No, I don't. I think Newsom's thinking about a run at the presidency, and I don't know why this is a good, I don't know why this helps, but somehow it does. I don't know why this is a good thing. I don't assume he's thinking solely about numbers and hospitals and flattening curves. I think there's probably a bigger, grander scheme to this, but I don't know what it is. But every time I ask Mike August what this is, he's like, oh, he's got his eyes on the national stage. And I'm like, so now America gets the world's worst governor? Like, why is that enticing? Because he's taking this seriously, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what the real story is, but I do feel like Los Angeles and L.A. and I said L.A. and California, I think we're more locked down than any other state, any other city in the United States right now. New York's more open than we are, so I think, although there are restaurants, you still have to eat outside. All right, what else we got, Gina Grant?
Oh, Ellen. Ellen. So we already know that the people who worked with her aren't happy, but now it's the people who work for her at home that aren't happy. And she's going to return to the airwaves toot sweet. And she says she's going to address all the controversy. But I got to tell you about the latest controversy. It's pretty comical. So somebody talked to the Daily Mail. Some staffer of hers or former staffer of hers that she's been tormenting her household staffers. She takes pleasure in firing them. Before that, she's been accused of being mean to guests and creating the toxic work environment work. Ellen DeGeneres ran her household, it says, like a military style boot camp, barking orders, tormenting employees over tiny errors, taking pleasure in firing them. This is all according to a former staffer. Life behind the scenes at her house was every bit as traumatic as the alleged toxic work culture on the show. Workers were hit with an itemized daily list of gripes, from serving food in the wrong bowl, leaving the salt shaker in the wrong place, or failing to ensure DeGeneres' latte was frothed the way she likes it. This is my favorite part. Nitpicking DeGeneres even laid traps before she left for work, strategically leaning matchsticks behind cupboard doors and cushions to test if the cleaners were dusting every square inch of her residence. Employees rarely lasted more than a few months, and on occasion, a household manager was fired just 2 hours into the job.
Well, she definitely has that sort of perfectionism and whatever you want to call it, hypervigilance, what I have. You sort of notice everything, and everything kind of bumps you. On the other hand, you have to understand there is a reason why this person is available to mop your bathroom floor well into their 40s at $19 an hour. You know what I mean? Like, you have to just, sometimes you want the best and the brightest, but the best and the brightest aren't going to be working inside your house for $19 an hour in their mid 40s, you know?
Yeah, so they may be otherwise engaged.
You have to kind of understand you're not going to get the sharpest bit in the index. I think I went full workshop there. But my point is this. Yeah, but then there's a kind of a balance. I'm trying to think of me being tyrannical with people who work for me. I will say this. Now, you guys tell me this. You guys tell me where you come down on this. I bought a really good bottled water for my house, and it's bottled, like it's in a glass bottle. It's like a sparklets bottle. Oh, wow. It's the good stuff. It's heavy. of course. It's a big glass bottle. It's like it's hard to get it to your porch. It's hard to get it from the porch to the thing and getting it capsized on the thing. And I started noticing that I was going through a bottle every like 2 days, you know. And what I was noticing is people bring in these big fucking Camel jugs, like their big hopper, you know, 1 liter, whatever. And they're like topping it off before they leave, you know. And so I said to Olga and Peter, who was like doing a lot of sucking off the bottled teat over there. I said, over there in that sink, I got a good filtered water system. It's a nice filter. It's not as good as the bottle. But if you're going to top off your basically your tanker that you're taking with you on the road or whatever throughout the course of the day, hit the filter thing so I don't have to change the bottle every 2 days. So that was kind of my decree. Now you could say it was a little like, but it's like you're these big like 500 milliliter things in and like ka-gong, 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 ka-gong. It's like it's Friday. I'm going mountain bike riding tomorrow. Ka-gong, ka-gong, ka-gong. Okay. Hit the filter.
Are you changing the bottle?
Oftentimes, I'm changing the bottle.
Ellen is not changing the bottle.
But also, what happened was, is we, because of this, the four bottles you get for 3 weeks, or nah, it was like, you get five bottles for 2 weeks or something like that. I noticed we're out of the bottles. Like, it's like, what happened to our ratio? And what happened to the ratios? Everyone was sucking off my glass bottle. So, yes.
Are they, either way, this is wrong, but are they finishing off opened bottles, or are they opening a new bottle to top off theirs? You know what I mean? Like, is it like, oh, this one's open, I'll just dump this in here versus new one?
You mean like jug bottle,
we're talking
right?
Big 5 gallon sparklets-y glass, big jug bottles.
Okay. I misunderstood. I thought you were going like aquapana or panna or something like that.
No, it's the big glass sparklets, whatever, pain in the ass. Super heavy, by the way. I do love I love me some like real outback kind of engineering, like all these big glass bottles they've dropped off on the porch, but it's a good long hallway to get from the porch to the kitchen, and every once in a while I'll walk in there and Olga has one of the bottles on a beach towel, and she's just dragging the beach towel and the bottle down the hardwood floor. And I'm like, yep, I love it. But once you, when you want to rehydrate, hit the filtered shit, bitch. That's the way I roll. So I'm kind of like Ellen.
Yeah. I guess if you didn't say bitch, maybe.
Yeah.
She'd be down.
Well, it rhymed with Britta. You know, I was doing alliteration. Hit the Britta, right. Bitch.
You're on a roll.
Yeah, I was on a roll. Don't stop him when he's on a roll. Yeah, Ellen. All right. Now, Ellen Schell is going to address this very soon.
She says she is. And right. Remember, one of, you know, the onslaught of gripes people tweeted about her. One of them was from a girl who was just her waitress at a restaurant. She didn't work for Ellen, but according to her, Ellen tried to get her fired because when she presented the food to them, she had chipped nail polish. So Ellen may have some Howard Hughes-y stuff.
What is, well, usually there is an element of that. You do notice everything, and what you notice bugs you. I'm in that club a little bit. So the question is, when Ellen gets out there and addresses this, how much internalizing, how much people are talk, they're jealous, they're disgruntled, I paid these people good money, how many does she have as a guest on that show? You know, does she have Michelle Obama come on and talk about what a great and wonderful host she is and how much she's done for the community? Like, what is the angle? We talked about this before. Does she go into rehab? You know, what is the angle here?
Remember the letter she wrote to her staff, like the internal memo was, my part in this was I trusted the right people to do their job and I fired them. So I would imagine it would probably be more of that.
Yeah.
But she's going to do, because it's popular now, right? You have to do a little, bit of that, you know, but I did look in the mirror and I didn't like what I saw looking back at me. And I know
she'll give a good lip service.
Right. But what you do is you shroud it in. I try to do so much for so many people. I get so much on my plate that sometimes I realize I can be a little bit short in my attempt to do so much for so many. You know, like there's a sort of a thing where you kind of you're like
someone needs to put you in touch with her. That's
are you
good.
Putting yourself down, or you you create so many jobs and you feel so responsible for everyone and their livelihood, and sometimes you get too invested and you get a little emotional, and that's on me. That's my fault because I care
I care too much.
I get too invested in the people, and I care so much about them, and I realize I should just so there's a way of kind of doing the mea culpa thing, but it's not really, it's kind of a compliment, you know?
Yes, that's good. And remember a few years ago, I don't know if it was within my tenure here, I can't remember, I think it was, remember when she basically tried to throw that whole animal rescue under the bus, and they came out and they're like, no. So I think she's kind of used to wielding her her popularity with a bit of an iron sword. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
She's like, She adopted one of the animals. She didn't want it. She gave it to her makeup artist. And part of the rule for the rescue is like, you can't, it's not yours to give. If you can't take care of it, you give it back to us. So they went and got the dog, and she went on her show and destroyed that rescue organization for, ripping this puppy from the hands of crying children. And I was like, you didn't have to do that to them. You have to do them dirty like that. They're a nonprofit. They're trying to save animals.
Well, if any kids are listening, here's the lesson. Being nice is a huge fucking time suck. And then eventually they find out you're not nice, and then they crucify you. So might as well just be a douche from Jump Street.
Amen.
Please, kids. All right, let me hit Madison Reed Mister here. Now, Madison Reed. Well, we know Madison Reed makes a great hair coloring for women. Lynette uses it.
I love it.
Gina uses it on occasion.
All
the accessories. And they were like, well, if we make the really good stuff for women, why don't we make really good stuff for men? And that's where Madison Reed Mister comes in. Maybe you want a little less salt, a little more pepper. Might I suggest Madison Reed Mister? It's easy to find your color. You can match it. Just go to their website. Get a little dollop. Put it in your hands. It's a little kit. You get the color you need. Comes in a little pouch. Put the gloves on, rub it around through your hands, and just rub it through your hair. Then do the activator in 10 minutes or so. You let it just sort of sit there for 10, and then you just rinse it right out. And you wash that gray right out of your hair, buddy, with Madison Reed Mister. Right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMister.com. And use code Corolla for 10% off, plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Corolla.
Breaking news. News alert. I just got on my phone this in 20 seconds. LA Times headline. LA County walks back Halloween ban says trick-or-treating not recommended. So there's a long article about it, and I'm sure that'll all be made clear to us tomorrow.
I think they got a lot of pushback, and because I think what you have to balance is a sort of crazy overreach mixed with full-fledged rebellion. Like, people's going, fuck it, I'm going to the streets.
Right.
Here is the opposite of breaking news. The very antithesis of breaking news. I was listening to the song, Button Up Your Overcoat When the Wind Is Free. Take good care of yourself. You belong to me. It's probably a song from the 30s or the 40s even.
Probably 40s, yeah.
And they're telling you all the things to do to take care of yourself. And they want you to eat an apple because, eat apple every day. 1929.
Oh.
Then there's a part that goes, eat an apple every day. Go to bed by 3. 3?
A.M. or P.M.?
3. 3. You're fucking junkie if you're going to bed. Like, if you're like, it's 2:55, my girlfriend wants me to go to bed, like, on a Tuesday, like, go to bed by 3. So I'm like listening to going, 3 a.m. I mean, you're fucking full-blown junkie at that point. And by the way, she's asking you to go to bed by 3, which means you normally go to bed at 5, 5:45. Like, you watch the sunrise every fucking morning. And I do understand that 3 rhymes with me, and, 12 o'clock doesn't rhyme with me, and 11 doesn't rhyme with me, but I still would argue you got to pick a better time than 3.
Yeah, something about saying when, go to bed by 10.
Right. Eat an apple every day. Get in bed by 3. Get in bed. You might do a couple hours of reading.
Or if your mom's telling you to get in bed by 3, she might have Munchausen by proxy. Her mom makes me go to bed in the afternoon. She says I'm sick.
I'm driving my car. It's like, 3 in the afternoon? Could she want him to go to bed at 3? No. Have to be getting in bed by 3.
It's bizarre.
I get it. Yeah, it rhymes, but it's pretty late.
I wonder if a lot more, I mean, this doesn't make any sense, but did a lot more schedules in 1929 include like meat packing and garbage men and shit like that? We worked overnight and then he came home and got to bed by 3? Because my uncle is a garbage man. He would go to bed at 3 in the afternoon.
So you're thinking second shifters.
Mm. Well, first yeah. Shifters.
By PM, yeah.
Well, if she'd worked in, like, working a third shift at the munitions factory, get to bed by 3, like a little context, but she's just telling her boyfriend, you know, it's like put a sweater on, eat an apple, and go to bed by 3, which is really fucking late, even by 1929 standards. So, but I was just listening going, what the fuck does 3 mean? And why is it 3? And then that's why I could never write a song, because they'd go, go to bed by 3, take good care of yourself, you belong to me. And I go, yeah, it's good, but except for the 3. And they go, what? I'm just saying, go to bed by, but who goes to bed after 3? Who is this person we're talking to? And by all, also, you're expecting this person to eat an apple every day and put an overcoat on? This person's a violent rapist junkie. If that's their schedule, I'm sorry. Unless, again, we've laid the groundwork to them working at the meatpacking factory and working the third shift or whatever that is.
Is there a chance in hell this is a song for children and it's nap time at 3? But they could have said it. Take a nap by 3.
The other lyrics are, be careful crossing streets, cut out sweets. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that a nursery rhyme?
I don't know. Maybe she. It sounds like a woman singing to her sweetheart, but maybe the origin story is I have a special needs child.
He's a menace to society.
Lay off your meat, you'll get a pain and ruin your tum-tum.
Oh, maybe they're talking to a 9-year-old. Was it from a musical? Oh.
No, it's just interesting.
Gina didn't say anything.
No.
In 4 seconds.
Not that I'm aware of.
Not from a musical.
No.
Huh. See if you can find out where the origin. It's probably some Jewish songwriting team or something.
Yeah, written by Ray Henderson. The music, the lyrics written by B.G. De Silva and Lou Brown.
Published
in 28, performed later that same year by vocalist Ruth Etting.
It is featured on kidsongs.com.
Yeah, then Helen Cain sang it. And after Helen Cain sang it, her voice was the inspiration for the voice of the cartoon character Betty Boop.
Well, maybe they're talking about a kid.
But they should say take a nap by 3.
Yeah, get in bed by 3. Yeah, take a nap by 3. Yeah, that would work for yeah.
Sinatra did a version of this? I got to hear that.
All right, let me hit LifeLock here. LifeLock, yeah, warning, new phishing scam. Masquerades is a billing error alert from Netflix pushing victims to update their payment details within 24 hours or the subscription will be voided. And people are freaked out because they're not going to be able to watch their Netflix. So their link, by the way, even redirects you to a very real looking CAPTCHA form. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day. We put our info at risk on the internet. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. You become a victim of identity theft. You will then have access to a dedicated restoration specialist. It's the best. It's LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
What else we got, Gina?
Big changes in the Oscars, and it's kind of convoluted, so I'll try and make it as simple as possible.
Very convoluted.
Yeah, I mean, I have what I'm looking at right now is 3 pages just on this story, but I think we can make it a little shorter. So basically, they're trying to boost diversity in a big big way, and it mostly affects Best Picture. They're going to creep it in the next couple years, but 2024 is when it really goes into effect. So I have the full breakdown of the new standards. I'm just going to give you an overview. So this will be for the 96 Oscars in 2024. A film must meet 2 out of 4 of the following standards to be eligible for the Oscar. So there's a standard A, an A2, an A3. It's crazy, Brian. I assume you've looked at this.
I've seen a little bit. I'm excited to hear your explanation. Crazy.
So at least one of the lead actors or significant supporting actors is from an underrepresented racial or ethnic group, and they list all of the groups. Mm-hmm. They're talking Asian, Hispanic, Black, Indigenous, Middle Eastern, Native Hawaiian or Pacific Islander, other underrepresented race or ethnicity. So that's one category. General ensemble cast, at least 30% of all actors in secondary and more minor roles are from at least 2 of the following underrepresented categories. The list again, essentially.
But how would you do like a World War II movie?
I was going to say, Saving Private Ryan does not pass this test.
No. Alien wouldn't pass. I mean, you have Sigourney Weaver, but she's pretty white.
Well, other categories, they do get into deaf or hard of hearing or people with disabilities. So maybe you work it in that way. Main storyline or subject matter. Uh-huh. The main storyline, theme, or narrative of the film is centered on an underrepresented group. They list groups. Standard B. That was A. B, creative leadership. That's the behind the scenes stuff. Creative leadership and project team. To achieve standard B, the film must be 1 of the criteria below. And that's at least 2 of the following creative leadership positions. Casting, cinematographer, composer, the list goes on, are from an underrepresented group. At least 1 of those positions must belong to the following ethnic group. They list all the ethnic groups.
They better pray the Jew becomes one of these groups. Oh, there's a lot of movies.
It is not listed. Other key roles, at least 6 other crew team and technical positions are from an underrepresented racial ethnic group. And they just list everything over and over again. Standard C, we went through standard A and standard B. Industry access and opportunities. To achieve standard C, the film must meet both the criteria, paid apprenticeship and paid internship opportunities. And the film's distribution or financing companies has paid apprenticeships, blah, 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 to satisfy the criteria below, women, racial, ethnic, LGBTQ, person with disability. Training opportunities and skill development for the crew. Now we'll go on to standard D. That's audience development. Ooh. And this is the last one. To achieve standard D, the film must meet the criteria below. Representation in marketing, publicity, distribution, blah, 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 must meet an underrepresented racial or ethnic groups on their marketing, publicity, distribution teams, and they list that. The first person I've seen, and I think August forwarded this to me, to publicly speak out against it was someone you just spoke to, which was Kirstie Alley.
Yeah.
She has thoughts about it, and I'm sorry, I didn't pull that up right away.
Well,
here it is.
I'll tell you the insidious part about all this stuff. I've always said we love sports for the meritocracy of it, the flat out meritocracy of it. We don't even know why we love sports as much as we're attracted to it. We're attracted to it because we're like, that guy's the best in the world, or that girl's the best in the world, or nobody's better than them. You know, I mean, it's like Muhammad Ali. It's like, I'm the best ever. I'm the best ever. It's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And we used to, we love a meritocracy. That's why we love a war. Like whoever wins the war, like you didn't get lucky. It wasn't because who your daddy was or whatever. We love it. We love sports for that reason. And in a weird way, the heavyweight champion of the world, that is the heavyweight champion of the world. Like there's nobody who can. And by the way, that's why MMA is so popular. Like that guy, heavyweight, mixed martial arts, he could beat up any human being on the planet in a bar fight. Minus weapons, he would win. And we love that. And so what started happening, we used to feel that way about the Academy Awards. Once in a while, there's an argument, but like, best picture, best actor, best actress. Over the last few years, some doubt has been creeping in, like, I wonder if they just did that because it was an all fill in the blank, you know, cast, or because the director was a female of color. Like, it started to creep in, and now it's arrived. So now whenever we see a movie win Best Picture, we're always going to go, yeah, but really? And that's what you don't want when you're putting together a sporting event or an award show or anything. You don't want, I mean, we kind of love that about a spelling bee, you know, it's just a glass person or occasionally seven Eastern Indian folks standing are gonna win this thing. This now does that, and even if the best film is the best film, still going to have half the people kind of folding their arms with one eyebrow in the air going, or is that just because they made you do blah, 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 blah. And now you have no idea how much you're undermining what you're trying to do, and it shall just lose popularity. As it goes on, these movies and the Academy Awards and all that just gonna kind of coast to a stop. And also, no one ever really talks about how all this needs to be regulated and who's in charge of the regulation. Like, there's now going to be somebody assigned to the film set, to the whatever, that you're going to have to vet all this stuff work through, sort of more paperwork, more money, more things that have to be paid out. Ugh. All right. Awesome. I just feel like before all this, the Academy was going pretty hard that direction. They were going pretty hard the inclusion direction, the people, whatever.
Didn't we just have Oscar so white? Wasn't that in the last few years?
But before that, it seemed like it was pretty black. I mean, also, I will also sign off on this notion. Asians don't seem to be as interested in the cinematic arts as Jews. Okay, fine. There's probably not a lot of Jews working at jet propulsion laboratories or whatever, except for the first one who came here from Germany, von Braun or whatever his name was. But save that. Oppenheimer and von Braun. Well, either way, save that pioneering rocketeering Jew. This group is more interested in this art form or in this endeavor, such as, I don't know, engineering versus making films. I've accepted that. I'm okay with that.
Yes. And maybe we're a little, you know, the industry's behind the times, you know, and all these years saying, you know, an all female cast will never make a, you know, a splash, or an all Asian cast. And now we know that's not true. Like Crazy Rich Asians.
Right.
That movie was huge, and the people spoke with their wallets.
And we will watch. We'll watch just like we watch sports. It's fine. Yeah, Oppenheimer was atomic bomb, and Werner von Braun was Werner von Braun the rocket guy? I don't know, Max Beck.
Yes,
so von Braun was the rocket guy, so I was right. All right, anyway. I've been saying this for a long time. Everyone thinks this is progress. It is not progress. You wait and see how all this shit pans out. Yes.
Gina's point is actually a great point about Crazy Rich Asians, because, yes, people will support great movies. You know what I mean? Like, a great movie transcends whatever. It can be about, you know, gay or Asian or anything that isn't mainstream. I'm making air quotes here. But Crazy Rich Asians was not a good movie. It was a very, very middling movie, and people still flooded to see it, which is actually a better endorsement. Like, it didn't have to be great. It just had to capture that public zeitgeist.
Hello, people. Yeah. A little film called The Wiz from 1976. Thank you very much.
Well, and hello, Moonlight. I think Moonlight would qualify in 2024.
Absolutely. All right, let me hit Geico right now. Geico is offering you an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico would already be saving you if, in fact, you're going with Geico. So what are you waiting for? Never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. At Geico. That's geico.com. So visit geico.com and learn more. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right, let's take a quick break and come back. We'll do Jeff Cesario with the sports right after this.
It's time to break down the game film and look at the X's and O's, the KOs and the O-Nos from the world of sports. BetOnline presents All Balls, All Sports.
Chet Waterhouse with the Bet Online mini update, sponsored by Validate, the dating service with free parking. NBA playoffs. Lakers won, lead the Rockets 2-1. James Harden's beard cramped up. It was treated for dehydration at the Orlando Floyd's barbershop and released. NFL, on the season finale of Hard Knocks, the Chargers found out stud safety Derwin James out for the season with a torn meniscus. Hey, at least it's an ending. None of that Sopranos crap. And finally, superstar Justin Timberlake has joined the bid to bring Major League Baseball to Nashville, said a Nashville high schooler who's the old man. This mini update sponsored by Medieval Knievel, the jousting daredevil. Take it away, Jeff.
Thank you, Chet. Let's dive into these headlines. Hard Knocks ratings through the first three episodes, Adam, down 66% from last year. Last year was the Raiders, and this year is the slightly more boring Chargers and Rams. But still, that's a huge ratings collapse. It's more like HBO's Flag Football Hard Knocks right now. It's not
well, really. Like the gay cowboy once said, I wish I could quit you, but I can't. I watch, but I'm... First off, the whole sort of social justice movement has just sort of permeated every facet of life. And, you know, I don't want to sound like Ted Nugent's grandfather here, but I do like sports because it offers a little escape from all of what's kind of going on. And everyone's just sort of taking a knee and doing the whole nine yards. And you go to the Rams Stadium and they got the Black Lives Matters up on the Jumbotron. And it's like, we get it. Also, every show feels obliged to explain what they're doing in terms of safety and COVID. So they go, they dedicated the first 40 minutes of the first episode to protocol, you know, and it's like, we fucking get it. Yeah. Wash your hands. Now go hit a fucking sled or go take some quarterback's head off. Like, we get it. You're doing all you're responsible citizens. Like, so much of it's just virtue signaling. Like, here's what we're doing. Everyone has to do this. And it's just taken the entire season. They canceled one, I guess, practice, or they canceled one scrimmage. They haven't scrimmaged any other teams. There's always that sweet overachieving white guy from the small school. He got cut last night. It's a shambles. It's a shambles.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
That's what I say about Hard Knocks.
I like the dramatic storylines that they're forced to go to in a situation like this.
It's great storytelling.
He was on top of the world till a blast from his past showed up. It's like Knott's Landing. Hard Knocks Landing is what it turns into.
Mike loved this. Mike is like, it's funny when Mike August tries to form jokes, you know, it's not, shouldn't be called Hard Knocks. It should be called Soft Knocks. And I said, why don't we call it Soft Swirl? And he's like, it's perfect. And I was like, it's not that funny, Mike. And he's like, no, Soft Swirl is brilliant. I'm like, not really, because they're not really a yogurt or ice cream reference here. But yeah, normally it's glorious because, you know, you have DBs sitting on grass trying to remember the names of their 14 sons and good stuff like Cromartie, like good stuff like that.
That was the name of my fantasy team one year, Cromartie's kids.
That's right. And
have they shown SoFi in any of the episodes yet?
They did, and everyone's taking a knee, and then they're not gonna scrimmage over this because of this because of that. And it's just kind of everything got all woke, and it's kind of. It took a little of the wind out of the sail for me. But again, still watch it. The cinematography is amazing. Yes.
To Jeff's original story, to his original point, I love Hard Knocks almost as much as you. We talk about it all the time. Haven't seen a single episode this year. Recorded them all, just haven't gotten around to it. Life gets in the way. COVID, there's whatever. You know, Tess is all around screaming. My question is, do you think, you all think, NFL ratings will be down similarly, or not 66%, but some number that's notable? And if so, follow-up question, do you think those who have a vested interest are going to say, see, players kneeling, no one wants to watch?
Well,
I don't think that'll come into play. Yeah.
Everyone will try to riddle themselves right. you know, I think that's the new world order. So whoever, whatever the event is nowadays, one group's going to say, I told you, and the other group's going to go, well, of course, viewership's down. No one wants to watch a game with an empty stadium, you know, and here's the truth. They're both right. They're both going to be right. They're both going
to
be right.
I can't wait to watch. I've watched baseball with empty stadiums, and you can hear these guys swear super clear. And in a football game, it's going to be even – you are going to hear the insults, the catcalling.
The cracking of the helmets and the pads.
The dragging, the just like, yeah, well, I had your mama last night. I mean, you're going to hear it all.
I like your insults from the 70s. I had your mama last night.
Hey, Jive Turkey.
Look at me. Is he really going to help? That item sponsored by Chef Thayardee, the gender-neutral can of ravioli. Back to you, Jeff. Yeah, SoFi Stadium.
That was a good one.
Just had its grand opening, and it took so long to build that Stan Kroenke, the owner of the Rams, could barely lift the ceremonial scissors. It took like 4.5 years to build, and this poor guy, he's like 90 now. He's just trying to hold these cardboard scissors to cut a bad ribbon. It was really bad.
Yeah. Didn't the original budget, they said it was $1.5 billion, and now it's over five. It ended up
six.
Being over
it's
five.
It's close six. To six now. The Chargers, however, will still have to dress across the street at the Payless. So.
It's incredible that they're going to christen that stadium with nobody in it.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild. Now, shouldn't we have this rule? Why not? On the stadiums that are going crowdless, of course, Los Angeles is, shouldn't we let that one guy, like we have the Indian guy who there was the Washington Redskins guy, like the black guy who was always dressed up with the big headdress on.
Yep.
We had Barrel Man. Oh, he was in Denver.
Not the mascot, but the drunk.
The biggest, drunkest fan. The biggest drunk. Yeah. There's, you know, Raiders have a couple Raider Nation guys. They're just like King Pirate
Darth
guy.
Raider.
Darth Raider. Right. The Rams, inexplicably, sadly, and maybe racially tone deafly, had watermelon head guy.
Ooh.
They had the guys with the watermelons on their head. Jeff, are you not aware of this?
I am not aware of this.
Oh, they
and
had,
I'm from Wisconsin, they where had, this kind of thing should be a little more
yeah,
in the zeitgeist.
Oh, you guys, yeah, you put cheese on your head. That's nothing. We put whole watermelons on our head. There's a whole stand full of watermelon head Rams guys. Now, that was in Anaheim. That's when they were in Anaheim. Okay. First came out, yeah. The watermelon heads. But melon heads, but they were watermelon. Look, you use the cassava, that's fine. They had watermelons on their heads. Now, what I'm asking for is, shouldn't the number one crazed fan, watermelon, melon head, barrel guy, crazy, I think there was a brother for the Dallas Cowboys that dressed all up as like a cowboy and everything. Shouldn't Chaps, those guys be the one guy left who can run around the stadium going nuts? That doesn't sound dangerous to me. It would bring a lot of joy to me watching on TV, just that guy celebrating alone in an empty stadium.
Yeah, the joy I would get is when he runs out of gas about the middle of the second quarter.
I was going to say, his job is to rile up the fans, so he's going to feel pretty out of place.
I say he's one guy in a stadium. We certainly could do that safely. Also, sorry, Chet, go ahead.
Go ahead. That item sponsored by the Broken Clock Store, open 35 hours a day, 12 days a week. leads us to our next story. The LA Rams stud defensive back, let's keep it at SoFi, Jalen Ramsey signs a huge contract extension, $105 million, 71 of it guaranteed, highest paid defensive back ever. He started with the Jacksonville Jaguars, got in a beef with the head coach, Doug Marrone, traded to the Rams last year. And great player, but is from Smyrna, Tennessee, then Florida State, then Jacksonville his first 3 years in the NFL. Little smaller markets. This is L.A. He's already stormed out of one interview over a simple question about his contract.
Mm.
And then he went house hunting and the realtor must have smelled out a towner on him, because they just showed him like one of these crazy lunar landscape homes mm-hmm. up in like a coyote nest way up. Oh yeah, this is Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
No, my God.
No, Jalen, that's Beverly Hills. Sure, you'll love it here. You don't want to be anywhere near the strip.
Martin Sheen lives right across. Yeah, he lives in the trailer right over there with the rock formation.
Wow.
That's
Marty Sheen. Yeah, for a guy who likes the Rams, likes DBs, and likes architecture, this was a good segment for me. By the way, you get into a spat with Doug Maroney is no big deal. Doug Maroney's a douche. Now, if you have a problem with his wife, Jody, well, then that's an issue. She makes fantastic sausage. If you got a beef with her sausage, now I got a beef with you. You know, it's always, you know what I noticed? There's one thing that professional players really know, which is these guys hit the ground and immediately they look at their knee or they grab for the knee, and you see people like throwing their towels down on the ground like, oh, shit. And they know when they're fucked up, like immediately. Like if you think about all the Sandlot and Pop Warner, like if a kid hit the ground, be like, all right, get up, Brett. Like my knee, rub some dirt on it. Come on. And you'd go like my knee, and you'd go, look, there's eight of us. It's a 4-on-4. If you go home, it's going to be a 3-on-4. We can't just fucking do it and stop being a sauce, would you? Like I would just yell at people that were laying on the ground, writhing in pain. But the pros, when they're hurt, they know it.
Yeah, I rode home from a Sandlot football game with a broken collarbone, about 2.5 miles on my bike.
I tore.
That's the way you did it back then. Damn it!
I tore my meniscus and moved furniture that night. I'm not kidding you. These guys know the story. I tore my meniscus in a you know high school Sandlot, you know, Sunday pick 'em up, 19 year old whatever. I got back to my apartment that night. I limped back about 5 p.m. and I was like, oh, I think I jacked my knee up. And my roommate was like, there's a diner booth, like a full old school 50s diner's booth. It's in the alley behind the Blah Blah Cafe on Ventura Boulevard. I'm like, well, what do you want from me? He's like, what do I want from you? We're moving that shit into our apartment. We got to get it tonight before someone else takes it. It's like, I can't walk. Oh, come on. Just get in your fucking truck. We can do this. I'm like, I think my knee's
shake
fucked
it
up.
Off.
It's like, shake it off. We lived upstairs. Better fucking move a diner booth upstairs. I had to take the fucking door off the pins off the hinge, off the knuckles of the hinge. It was so big. Yeah. We couldn't fucking get it through. I was
homemade knee brace. Did you try something?
I tried nothing. I had to have surgery. I literally moved this fucking diner booth with a torn meniscus that I tore earlier that evening because I was being called a pussy and because the diner booth wasn't going to be there tomorrow. Yes.
Speaking of, that item sponsored by Throwbacks, the e-cigarette you light with a match. Let's go to baseball. We'll wrap it up here a little baseball. The Yankees are in danger of missing the playoffs, which incidentally are an 8-team playoff. So, Adam, they made the season shorter and the playoffs longer. So I don't quite know how this balances out, but I'm actually looking forward to playoffs that might not include the mighty hated Yankees. I would look forward to that.
How many games are they playing this year in MLB?
They start with a 60-game season, but then they start, they rate them 1 through 8 in the National League, 1 through 8 in the American League. So 16 teams all total make the playoffs, which is kind of ridiculous. And then they start with a 3-game series. So the Dodgers will probably wind up playing, who knows, I think maybe even San Francisco. But, I mean, in a 3-game series, a team like the Dodgers, who's clearly superior to anybody else in baseball right now, could easily get knocked off. Like you say, pitcher hits the mound wrong, tweaks a knee, suddenly Bueller's out of the game. You know, and now you've got a parade of relievers. They lose game one. Something like that will happen. And this, I think, the playoff end of it could be a disaster for baseball.
Are we 40 games in now? 40 plus?
40 plus for most teams. Some teams haven't caught it up yet, but most teams 40 plus, yeah.
Baseball, I'm not a huge baseball fan, but just watched the highlights on SportsCenter. Doesn't affect me that much, the empty stadiums. I see the guys hit, you know, a couple guys hit three dingers in one game, and it's still like I can watch it. I can watch the highlights. I'm not missing the fans. Yes, Brian.
Yeah, outside of like, you know, the home run, the spectacular catch, and something where the crowd goes nuts, it's just kind of a general buzz. So as long as that sound effect guy just keeps that general buzz going, you know, it sounds like people getting drinks, ordering popcorn and stuff. Yeah. It's like a normal game.
All right.
Well, that's the beauty of baseball. It's long and boring, and you don't really need people there.
A good note to go out on. Are we going out on a note? Yeah. Oh, yes. There's a picture of me. There's a picture of me from 1984. I have a knee brace on my right knee, and if you look to the right of the picture, you'll see a shiny red diner booth. Mm-hmm. That we shoehorned into our kitchen, into the cubbyhole of our kitchen. And that was the diner booth that I moved before I had knee surgery. Imagine having an injury that required surgery, except for later on after the injury in the same day, you moved heavy furniture up flights of stairs.
Nope.
Were you on your parents' insurance, or how did you pay for the surgery?
I think my dad, either my stepdad or my dad, had Kaiser insurance, and I think my stepdad worked for like Lockheed, and I think I was under his insurance until 21. I think the way it worked was you can. At 21, you're off the insurance. It wasn't at 18 because I was probably 19 and a half or 20 when I got it. But I just got it. But
thank God you got that booth.
I moved furniture. The
booth sounds pretty sweet.
The booth was pretty sweet. But the irony of the booth is it was a big diner booth. It was, you know, I mean, I'm not going to exaggerate. It was probably 7 feet right to left, and it was about 5 feet, 6 feet deep, and it was about 42 inches high. It was a big fucking chunk of booth. And the way it worked is we went up the stairs. They were like outside apartment stairs, like 50s apartment, turned the corner, pushed it up to the landing, pulled off the screen door, pulled off the front door, couldn't pivot it around to get it through the front door. It was too big to get to the through the front door. By midnight that night, after taking off the front door and taking off the screen door and pushing this thing up the stairs and trying to pivot it around to get Max Bay, you can find a picture of my old first apartment building over there, like where I was with my motorcycle and shit like that. It's still there. At midnight, this is on a Sunday night. At midnight, I say to my roommate, Donnie, I go, my fucking knee is throbbing, and it's swollen now, and I haven't put ice on it, or I didn't have an ace bandage or ice. I didn't have aspirin. I didn't have a doctor. I didn't have anything. I just went to bed, but I was like, my knee is throbbing, and I can't put pressure on my foot anymore, and he was like, fine. We can't get it in the fucking door anyway, even though the door was off at this point. So he said, let's just bring it back down the stairs, put it in the back of your truck. So we did. We walked it. We carried it back down the fucking stairs. My knee is throbbing and black and blue and swelling up. I should have got ice on it immediately, obviously. Put it in the back of the truck. I said, I can't take it anymore. I got to go back up and lay down on the futon we share. I went back up, laid down on the futon we share. He drove the truck to the Jack in the Box, to the alley behind the Jack in the Box for some reason, about a block away. He took one of my construction hammers and he took the whole fucking, he just beat the whole thing apart. So he broke it into like five pieces, brought it back and brought it in like five small pieces. And then later on, I rebuilt it. And we put it in the kitchen, and I actually built a cool diner table that sort of custom fit there. But that was all my knee could take.
IKEA stole the idea from you.
Yeah, IKEA took my idea.
Why don't we see this on HGTV? This is
IKEA.
Oh, that's great.
The front of the apartment is like you can picture us shoving this huge booth up these stairs and then trying to pivot it at the top and get it through the front door, and we couldn't make it, and my knee was killing
me. Mafia blood just dripping from it.
Yes. All right.
I loved your knee brace too. That was a sort of white canvas, clearly a prototype of what was to become a knee brace.
Yeah, that's what I got after they gave me my surgery. All right, let me hit Bet Online. The wait is finally over. Football is back, man. And you can still get in on all the action at Bet Online opening night. Well, let's see, tonight, right? September 10th, right? Thursday. Houston Texans, Kansas City Chiefs. Go Chiefs, says Gina Grant. Sunday night game, we got the Seahawks and the Falcons. My Rams are going to be playing, or I should say Sunday night, I think the Rams are playing. Sunday games, we got Seahawks and Falcons, Packers, Vikings, Buccaneers, Saints. Got some good games there. Bet Online gives you more options to wager on than any place online. From the spreads to the totals to the prop bets to championship futures and more. Head to Bet Online today. Take advantage of all the great season opening bonuses. Visit Bet Online, betonline.ag, our exclusive partner, Podcast One. Don't forget, use the promo code Podcast1 for your sign up bonus today. All right, let's bring it home, Jeff.
Time for the Bet Online line. Oh, man, here's the hot lines, guys. Tonight, Lakers versus Rockets, game 4. Lakers, -210 favorites. That means you got to bet $210 to win 100. NBA championship odds, guys. Ooh, look out. This is where you're going to buy the vacation home. Clippers, +175. Lakers, hot on their heels, +230. Heat right behind them, +400. Celts, +500. And the Nuggets, +6,600. Gina, there's your long shot. That Bet Online line sponsored by tea. When there's no other choice but scalding water, try tea. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.
All balls, all sports. Presented by Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert.
I got to tell you, the Chet Waterhouse brought to you by is where out of this world today, Jeff. All of them were.
Jeff, they are D.
Nines and tens. Not an eight in the batch. All right. Tempe, Arizona, the Tempe Improv, September 18th and 19th, coming up next weekend. We'll be doing live podcasts there and stand up there. Rob Schneider's going to come out on stage for a live podcast on the 19th. Salt Lake City, Wise Guys, October 2nd and 3rd, live pod there and stand up. And I'll do a live Reasonable Doubt there with Mark Garagos, who's going to be in town. I think he's suing the Salt Lake. He feels like there's just too much sodium in it, and why shouldn't he cash a check? I'm your emotional support animal, available as we speak on Amazon. I will read the reviews. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Brian and Jeff and Gina and Jake Steinfeld and Tom Skerritt. Say it. Mahalo.
Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Follow Adam on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1644. Thanks to Bet Online, and pick up Adam's new book. I'm your emotional support animal. Get the links at adamcarolla.com.